It's my joy and pleasure to address you once again on this theme of family matters. This is actually the final of these studies that we have been conducting on this line of thought. I want to thank all of you who have been part of our viewing audience over the past weeks, and we appreciate your attention and your interest in this theme. It's a very important one. The latter two studies, last week and then again now, are focused upon our children, upon our offspring, and that, of course, is where we leave off this study, and it's a very good place to do so because of the importance of having our children brought up in the ways of the Lord. And I pray that tonight again God will bless his word unto your hearts. Let us commit our time to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thou dost know our need as we come to thee and meet around the word of God once again. I pray for all those who are tuning in, watching on, that thy Spirit will bless the word to their hearts and they will be helped through that word. I pray that thou wilt come near and give that grace that we need as we continue before thee now. We pray this for Christ's sake and for his eternal glory. Amen. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians 6, just to read a few verses at the opening of that chapter. Ephesians chapter 6 and the verse number 1. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Now, last week I began this view of the training of our children by drawing your attention to an outstanding example of spiritual instruction, namely that instruction that Timothy received from his earliest days. One of the aspects of spiritual training is that it is to be given to our children in order to have them understand their need to be obedient. And here in Ephesians 6 and verse 1, we have very clear words to that end. This is an integral part of the instruction of our children and of their duty to their parents. It says in Ephesians 6, 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And as you can see, the words are in the form of a command. This is important. Just as wives are commanded to be in submission to their husbands, and we looked at that, and husbands are commanded to love their children, and we consider that matter, so children are commanded to obey their parents. I explained to you why these areas are under command, and it's because of the sinfulness of the human heart. The fall of man has distorted the nature of man to the degree that God must come along and actually command him to do what he should do anyhow. And of course, that doesn't happen. That is, they don't do what they should do, whether it's fathers or mothers or children. There's a fallen nature, there's a sinful heart within us all, and therefore obedience must be set forth as is here in the form of a command. Now, the Bible reveals that one of the marks of a pagan and a godless society is disobedience to parents, involving much more, of course, than merely failing to carry out certain commands. It also includes and involves disrespect, or again, a sullen disposition, or that utter selfishness which is bereft of any thought about the welfare of parents. And those traits are but the outworking, again I say, of the fallen nature that is in all men and in every heart, and most certainly is in the hearts of our children. And parents deceive themselves if they think that their children are innocent, if they think that their children do not have a fallen nature, that somehow or other at some point beyond the time of their birth, they they acquire an attitude or behavior that is wrong. No, it's there from the very beginning. It's there within the nature of our children. And so the potential for disobedience is actually part of their makeup and their condition in a spiritual sense. There are some basic points regarding obedience to parents that we must notice, because since that fallen nature is there, then God actually shows us that children must be taught to obey. Obedience to parents is part of God's order of creation. At the end of verse 1, in reference to the command, children, obey your parents in the Lord, it says this, for this is right. This is right. That is, obedience to parents is right and proper. And the sense is, the implication is, that is so because it is part of the original creation of God. And so what Paul does here, he already has done earlier in chapter 5 with regard to the husband and the wife. He takes his readers back always to the divine order that was established at creation. And he's actually showing that because of sin, it is unnatural for children to disobey their parents, just as it's unnatural for a husband not to love his wife, or for a wife not to be a person who reverences her husband. This is what sin has done. We've got to face this. We've got to get a hold of this and see the awful and terrible damage that sin has done to human nature and to the heart of man. And our little ones are born, as I've been showing you, with this fallen nature. And yet Paul takes us back to the beginning and he says, to obey your parents is right. And so every expression of disobedience is the evidence of the ruined nature that lies within your child's soul. And this must be seen and must be solemnly recognized by every father and mother. Obedience to parents is also commanded by God's law. You'll find that having said in verse 1, obey your parents, he goes on immediately to quote from the commandment that says, honor thy father and thy mother. And those words, of course, are from the fifth commandment. Now, there are two parts to the Ten Commandments, the moral law of God, as it's summarized in those commandments. We find this in the teaching of Christ in Matthew 22, from verse 36 through to verse 40. In those verses, the Lord gives a summary of the law. He divides it into two parts, two tables, two sections. In verses 37 and 38, he refers to the first four commandments, where he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and strength and mind. And he's referring there to the first four commandments, which are Godward in direction mainly, and they have to do with the proper worship of God. Then he goes on to say in verse 39 that we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. And he is referring there to the final six commandments, which are manward in direction and have to do with a proper walk before God. And therefore, as we walk before God in this world, we demonstrate that our walk is proper, that it is godly, by how we treat our fellow man. And so the second table of the law has to do with the last six commandments. The first four have to do with the worship of God. The second six have to do with how we behave toward other human beings, to put it that way. And they deal with a lifestyle that will make a person to be a blessing to society. Now, concerning this point, notice some facts, therefore, about the fifth commandment, because the fifth commandment comes after the first four, obviously. And that means that the fifth commandment stands at the beginning of the second table of the law. As I've already said, the second table of the law has to do with our relationships with other people. Now, remember something. God is the God of relationships. He has relationships within the eternal Trinity, with the Son and with the Holy Spirit. And then with regard to how he has made man, man has been made by God to be a social being who has relationships with other people at various levels and in different ways. And this is one of them, this matter of relationships within the family. And in particular, as we're dealing with in this study, relationships between the children and their parents. And so when you find that the second table of the law begins with the fifth commandment, honour thy father and thy mother, we are actually being shown that relationships with other people, in terms of understanding those relationships and being able to form those relationships, they begin at home. They begin in the family. The family home is the training ground for establishing the relationships of life that come later on, married life, life in the workplace, and so on and so on. And so this commandment stands at the beginning of the second table of the law that deals with our relationships with other people. That's very important. This commandment stands before the next five, which forbids sin against our neighbour. And notice that as well. There are two conclusions that we draw from this observation. And number one, the members of the family where spiritual training and priorities and principles are set forth, those children are not likely to become murderers or adulterers or thieves or liars or covetous. Because honour thy father and mother is the beginning of the second table of the law. It deals with addressing children, showing them what their relationships are to be, how they're to treat other people. Then it goes on to say, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not steal, and so on. And so, by clear inference, the Lord is showing that the children who are taught these things are not likely, and I put it that way because there are always exceptions, but they're not likely to become the violators of the next five commandments in the form of these awful sins. And therefore, the breakdown of the family's spiritual and moral discipline produces the same in society through these sins. If there's a breakdown in the home, and if children are exposed to that kind of living that is characterized by what you find in the violation of the last five commandments, it's going to impact them. It's going to mold them into the same kind of behavior, and how tragic that is. The fifth commandment is actually the most important, therefore, in the second table of the law. Paul brings this out here in what he says in verse 2 of Ephesians 6. He says, honour thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, we need to understand those words carefully. To begin with, the phrase with promise refer to the promise contained in the commandment. That promise is that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This is important because it shows that there's something very sacred about the family and about the relationship between parents and children. As originally stated at Mount Sinai, this commandment, along with all the rest, was addressed to the Jewish nation. And therefore, the reference is to their land, the land of Israel. But here in Ephesians, Paul actually addresses it to the Gentiles, because he's writing to a Gentile church. And he therefore shows that as he generalizes the promise, he is saying that the observance of this commandment will produce a blessed life, a full life, under the benediction of God. So notice the promise that's in this commandment. It's important for that reason. It contains this promise. Honour your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. that it may be well with thee. And so if you start out all wrong and you don't treat your parents as you should, you're paving the way to a future that will be marked by misery, unhappiness, not knowing how to treat other people and deal with them in life. And so there's a promise here, a promise of blessing and fruitfulness of life as a result of obeying this commandment. And then the word first, because it says here, which is the first commandment with promise. That word first denotes that this fifth commandment is first in rank or importance in the second table of the law. All six are important, but the fifth has a relative importance which the other six do not have. That is, the neglect and the violation of this commandment, dealing specifically with family society, leads to moral collapse and the ruin of society in general. Now, the Bible's full of examples of what I am saying and proof of what I am saying, and furthermore, so is life. You take Genesis 4, and there you read of that man called Cain. And Cain brought the fruit of the ground to the Lord. He brought the works of his own hands. His parents hadn't taught him that. They had taught him the very opposite. And therefore he disobeyed his parents when he came to worship God, because he did not come with in view salvation by the blood of the Lamb. And what was the result? He didn't honour his parents, as you see, as I've just outlined. And in verse number 8, he becomes a murderer. And so you can see the connection. No honouring of the parents, therefore no regard for human life. Your parents, the ones who gave you life, are they not to be honoured in every way? And yet that is marked by failure. It's little wonder that there is murder of other people in our society. Or you take other examples. Genesis 34 verse 1, where you have the awful story of the daughter of Jacob, Dinah. And it says she went out to see the daughters of the land, which means that she was a wanderer. She left her father's house and she mingled with the ungodly, and the awful results were that she lost her virginity and she fell into a state of disrepute because she didn't honour her father or her mother and stay in the home until it was time to go. She wandered into the ways of the world, and the result, of course, was disaster. And so we learn very, very clearly, therefore, how important this is, this particular commandment about honouring our parents. It has to do with obeying them. Paul brings it in here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour thy father and mother, and so on. Obedience to parents comes under obedience to Christ. It says here in verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Not only does the law dictate that we obey our parents, so also does grace. Grace never undermines what God's law teaches. Remember that. That's a very important principle and fact of the teaching of the Word of God. And those words, in the Lord, mean that believing offspring are to obey their parents as part of their obedience to Christ. Just as the submission of the wife is part of her submission to the Lord Jesus, and the husband's love for his wife is part of his duty toward his Savior in his life and in his experience. And therefore, when we think about this, that obedience to parents comes under this issue of obedience to the Lord himself, remember that Christ himself was under obedience when he was on this earth. Read Luke chapter 2, the final section of that chapter. You'll know it, many of you, I'm sure, from verse number 48, 49 on through to the close of the chapter, you'll find that the Son of God incarnate submitted himself to Joseph, his guardian, and to Mary, his mother. He was conscious, of course, of a submission to his heavenly Father. And he refers in verse number 48 and 49 to his Father in heaven. But though he was conscious of being in the world to do his Father's business, his heavenly Father's business, yet he humbled himself and was obedient unto Joseph and Mary. He did so in order to please his Father in heaven, in order to show his submission to his Father in heaven. And so the one who came and said, I have come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law, in his early days was fulfilling that law, and specifically that fifth commandment, by honoring Joseph and Mary in his obedience to them and his submission to them, because it tells us there very clearly that he was in submission to Joseph and Mary. And so there's the Lord in his obedience. And what an example that is to young people. You want to be like Christ? Then study Christ and study this matter of his obedience that he exercised toward those who were over him in the family home there in Nazareth. And then, of course, obedience to Christ involving obedience to parents will please the Lord. Paul, again, says that essentially. Obey your parents in the Lord, or as it could be read, unto the Lord. This is the finest and greatest inducement of all for believing children or young people to obey their parents. Godly parents who maybe weep over you, who love you, who want what is right for you, obey them, and you are thereby giving obedience to the Lord and his will for you in your life. If you want to do the will of God, you need to start at home. And here's an area that is of vital importance in the beginning of doing the will of God. It is honoring your father and mother, obeying them and doing their will. Perhaps I speak to young people tonight who are not yet saved, and your father and mother have instructed you and taught you the ways of God and have shown you that you should seek the Lord and turn from sin and become a Christian. Oh, young person, obey your parents in that matter. See that they're setting out for you not only their own will, their own desire for you, but God's will. It's the will of God that you believe the gospel, that you turn from your sin, that you flee from the wrath to come, and you put your trust in the Lord Jesus. Do that even this night, and may God bless his word to the hearts of fathers and mothers, young people and little ones, for his glory and for his eternal praise. Father in heaven, use thy word that has gone forth in this series of studies on family matters, and may it bear much fruit, and may Christ be magnified. We pray in his name and for his sake. Amen.